It is really good to be here today, and we're going to keep on going with our series, the Resurrection series, and today we're going to talk about Thomas. So let's start reading the passage, if that's okay. Let's open in John chapter 20, verse 19 to 31. If you don't have your Bible with you or your phone, just feel free to just read in the back. It's going to be there. But it's a long passage, John 20, 19 to 31. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." But one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, was not with the other when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord," but he replied, "I will not believe unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wounds in his side." So 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer, Thomas. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me, but blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Well, Father, we love your word. We love the way you speak to us by your words, and I pray the Holy Spirit would reveal Jesus to each one of us through your words this morning, God. Amen. It's a beautiful passage, and I want to start by explaining the context of the series and of this passage. So we started with the resurrection Sunday. So Jesus was raised from the dead on Sunday, very early morning. And from that Sunday through 40 days, he appeared to different people, showing himself alive to the disciples, to the woman, to many people. And on the 40th day, he appeared the last time. It was the ascension, and he ascended into heaven. The disciples saw him going up, the living Jesus going up to heaven. And at this moment, he's seated in the throne in heaven. The real Jesus, the living Jesus, the King Jesus, and one day he's coming back soon. And that's what we're talking about. And so Jesus appeared to different people. So on the Sunday morning, very early morning, he appeared to Mary Magdalene and to the woman in the tomb. And that's what Chloe preached about. Everyone remember that? Just a good recap. And after that, Jesus appeared to some disciples. He appeared to the two disciples in the road of Emmaus. And that was Sunday afternoon. He appeared to the two disciples in the Emmaus road. And that was Josh's message. And on Sunday evening, we come to this passage. The disciples are together. They heard the woman said, "Wow, we have seen the Lord." And after that, the disciples from Emmaus road are like, "We have seen the Lord." And the disciples were together, and Jesus stand among them out of nowhere, "Peace be with you." And they see the Lord, the risen Jesus. But Thomas is not there. Poor Thomas. And Jesus is going to appear again just 8 days later when Thomas was there. And you know, I just wonder sometimes when I was prepping this message, like, why was Thomas not there? Was he, I don't know, buying breakfast to everyone in the toilet? I don't know, but, you know, He was, unfortunately, throughout history, he has been always the doubting Thomas. But he actually was in the wrong place in the wrong time. And actually, we all have been a doubting Thomas. And sometimes we are a doubting Thomas. But I just love how, if you notice this passage, I chose to read the whole passage because you see how both encounters are very similar. And Jesus comes back for Thomas. The disciples were meeting together in the first time, and after that they are meeting together with Thomas there. And suddenly, the first time Jesus appears, and after that suddenly, Jesus appears. And Jesus says to the disciples, peace be with you. And with Thomas there, peace be with you. And for the disciples, Jesus showed his hands and his side, and for the Thomas is the same. Thomas, here's my hands, my side. So Jesus comes for Thomas, and I believe that wherever you are in your life, in your faith journey this morning, whatever you're going through, Jesus wants to approach you today. He wants to come to you today and meet you in your place of unbelief, in your place of struggle, in your place of doubt, in your place of fear. And we're going to look into that. So as I was studying this passage, I felt God talking to me in two ways we can look at Thomas. We can look at Thomas as the doubting Thomas, and yes, he doubted. But I also see Thomas as someone that's kind of like not satisfied with the encounter of someone else. He's like, you saw Jesus, but I want to see Jesus. You have experienced him, but I want. And we're going to look at this passage in both ways. So first, I just want to look at the doubting Thomas, let's say. And I want to speak to the people here in this morning, and you may feel like that. They are having crisis of faith. And why do I mean by that? If you're here this morning and you are struggling, you're struggling in your faith, in your life, in your journey. You are struggling with doubt or fear, questions, like Thomas had questions. You are struggling in your relationship with God because of sin. You're bound by sin. If you feel like you are having a crisis in your faith. And it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter if you have been a Christian for a week or you've been a Christian for 50 years. Sometimes we all go through seasons like that. Jesus wants to come for this morning. And I believe that we can learn some stuff with Thomas here. Some step by step that he did to encounter the Lord. And the Lord came for him. And what I see here is a very simple process. Confess, stay, and wait. Just say to the person on your side, confess, stay, and wait. Just make sure they are awake still, like, you're awake. So, Thomas here, he confessed his unbelief to the disciples. He said, look, I don't believe. He confessed his unbelief to his community of faith. And whatever you're going through, I want to encourage you to confess to the community of faith what you're going through. Whether it's you're bound by sin, you're struggling in some area of your life, you are struggling with unbelief, you have questions, you have doubts. He confessed what was going through in his heart. And the community of faith was there for him. The disciples were there for him. You know, James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. When you talk about sins, it's really important that we talk to someone. I'm struggling with this area. But not only that, he stayed in the community of faith that he confessed his unbelief. And this is an important step. Jesus came for Thomas, and Jesus didn't encounter Thomas, I don't know, in the pub, or in the club, or in another church, but Jesus encountered Thomas in the community of faith that he confessed his unbelief. He stayed there. Sometimes we're struggling, and that's normal, but when we confess, we need to stay and wait. Thomas had to wait 8 days. Can you imagine how long was the 8 days? But the suddenly of the Lord is worth the wait. Because Jesus comes through. He always comes through. And Thomas was there 8 days. Can you imagine if Thomas had left after the 7th day? Like, oh, he didn't show up for me. I'm going to go. But he confessed his unbelief. He stayed there. He waited. And Jesus came for him. And Jesus dealt with the root of what's causing his unbelief. Because Thomas said, I will not believe unless I touch. And Jesus comes and says, Thomas, come on. Touch my hands. Touch my side. I want to deal with whatever is causing your unbelief. And I believe for us this morning, if you feel like you are in this place, having a crisis of faith caused by, I don't know, whatever, trauma, fear, doubts, sin, Jesus wants to deal with that. Because you're not meant to be in that place. You're meant to be in a place of encounter, in a faith that's thriving and not declining. And not static as well. And the last point I would say is, watch out for the peace of the Lord. Jesus is very specific about the first words he says. He says, peace be with you. You know, the peace of the Lord is tangible. It is different than the peace that the world can give us. It's a peace that sometimes doesn't make sense in our rational minds, but it is real. And Thomas and healing for his unbelief, it starts with the peace of the Lord. Before even he touched the hands, before he had a sign, a physical sign, starts with Lord ministering peace in his heart. And I just love that. So that's the first way that I look in this passage. And if you're in this place, like I said, a few times, God wants to meet you there. As you were praying early this morning, I felt God really saying that he's coming for your unbelief. He's coming for your struggles. He's coming for your sin. Because the Lord loves you. And if there's anything kind of like taking you apart from him, causing this distance, he's coming for it. The next way that I can see this passage is, like I said, Thomas is someone that's not satisfied with someone else's encounter. So if you are here and you say, oh, I'm okay in my faith, but I want more. I want to talk to you. People that are hungry for the Lord. People that are on fire for God. And how to get this more? How to get this revelation? How to, you know, if you're in this place, it's a good place. But I want to help you to just go deeper in God's presence in his voice. And, you know, with Thomas, we learn a few things. I would say just be around people that are also hungry for God. You are in a good place of your faith, in your journey, but be around people that are hungry for God, people that carry God's presence, people that are seeking God, people that inspire you to be more like Jesus. You know, we are in the AOG conference, like Beth was saying, and one of the speakers, he spoke about attending your own fire. Attend your own fire. And what do I mean by that? If you're a Christian, you probably know that in the Old Testament, the priests would be responsible to keep the fire burning. You're hungry for God, great, but keep on burning for the Lord. Attend your own fire. Wait in God's presence. How do you attend your own fire? It's very simple, guys. It's pray and pray more. Read your Bible. Meditate on your word and read more. Fast and seek the Lord. You know, don't let distractions, boredom, whatever, problems of this world, take this burning hunger out of your heart. Let's learn with Thomas. Never get satisfied for the revelation of someone else. Don't get satisfied for the words that I bring here today. Seek. Go home and you read, you pray, you dive into God's presence. You know, Jesus is the bread of life. And we must be hungry to eat from the bread of life. But sometimes we're not hungry, don't feel hungry, and we need to push through that. And we don't come to him because we are hungry, but we come to him because he's the bread. And we eat from him because he's the bread. Amen. And in this place, as well, I would say, also watch out for his peace. Watch out for the peace of the Lord. No, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Where he is, there is peace. And where his peace is because he is there. Look for moments in your prayer life, in your secret life, where, I don't know if you've ever been in these moments, but you are praying, you are reading, and suddenly, the peace of the Lord rests. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to, you just want to stay there. And I would say, watch out for the peace of the Lord. Seek the peace of the Lord. So yes, Jesus is coming for you today. Whether you are struggling or whether you're hungry. Doesn't matter how, in which side of this balance you are, he's coming for you today. And I just, as I was praying about it, I felt like making a graphic. I've designed a graphic. I hope it's going to show in the background. A graphic about our spiritual temperature. And I just want you to look right now to the graphic. And, ask yourself, where would you put yourself in the graphic? Be honest with yourself. Where are you? What do you think is your spiritual temperature? Just want you to help you interpret, if you don't know how to interpret this graphic. It's basically hot is good, right? Cold is not good. And lukewarm is definitely not good. Now, cold is it's a place that sometimes you can get into your faith life. It's not a place good to be, but it's important if you get to this place, cold, you acknowledge. You confess, you stay in the church, you stick together around the community, and you wait until Jesus comes and meets you and take you there to the hot place of your faith, the burning place. Does that make sense? Now, if you are in a place hot, that's great. I just say attend your own fire. Watch out to keep your heart burning. Let this fire grow. And the last place, of course, the lukewarm. I would say to us, it's an easy place to get into as we live in this Western Christianity. And we're not designed to be there, We all know probably the church in Laodicea, how Jesus one day said to this church, look, because you're not hot, not cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. And lukewarm is a very dangerous place to be. And what does lukewarm really looks like? Looks like people, they are close enough to Jesus, but their hearts are far away. And guys, I every message I bring is God speaking to me first in every area. And I don't come here with judgment. With all the love of my heart, God doesn't want us to be in this place. Lukewarm people are like, they're close enough to God, that they come to Sundays, they dive, they do everything right, but their hearts are far away. And we see warnings like that in the scripture, like you have a great picture of the Israelites, in the bottom of the mountain. There was a mountain in Mount Sinai, Moses was there close to God, and the mountain was covered by God's presence. They could see the smoke. They were close enough, but their hearts are so far away that they're creating an idol down there. Let's watch out. So, where are you in this graphic? Just have a moment to think. Chris, if you could just jump in the keys. And just the other group of people that I would like to speak to today is, if you feel like, oh, but Levi, I'm not even in the graphic. I think I don't believe in Jesus. I'm here because someone brought me here. I'm here because I was invited by my friend, by my parents, I don't have a personal relationship with God. It's great you have, but it's not a reality for me. And I want you to tell you that Jesus is after your heart this morning as well. In the verse that we read, there is a verse here, verse 29, that says, blessed are those who believe without seeing me. You know, if you make a decision about believing in Jesus today, you are blessed. And you may not know what it looks like, but I tell you, it's the best thing you could ever choose in your life. Because the decision of following Jesus is going to carry you through eternity. It's going to give you life, and life to the full in this life and in the next. And when we believe in Jesus, you know, He placed in our heart, you receive salvation. You receive the Holy Spirit. You receive eternal life. You are forgiven of your sins. All of that. But He also placed in your heart a peace. That's something that the words cannot take. That any circumstance cannot take. And in this morning, we have a little bit of time. I feel like we should just wait upon God. You know, in this passage, Thomas waited. And waiting in our society today is seen as not good. Who wants to wait? Who wants to wait for food? Take it too long. Who wants to wait for anything? No one wants to wait. Everything takes too long. Everything has to be quick. And waiting for God is actually investing time. Waiting for God is no waste of time. When we wait for God, He renews our strength. He acts for those that wait for Him. He is working and He loves people that wait for Him. There is no waste of time when you wait for the one that created all things. That created time. So right now, I don't know where you feel you are today when I brought this passage. If you feel like, oh, I'm really burning for God, you know, I want more. Or I'm cold. Or I'm lukewarm. Don't stay there. Or I feel like I even don't believe. Jesus is coming for your heart today. And I just want us to wait upon Him. So I just want to welcome you to feel free to stand up, sit down, get on your knees, close your eyes. If you don't know how to wait, if you, for example, I can just help you. If you are a Christian and you speak in tongues, you can speak just under your breath. Or if you can just say, whisper to Jesus, Jesus, I'm waiting for you. Speak to me. Let's wait upon Him and listen. Come, Holy Spirit.